everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 463. My name is Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox, and this is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, stuff that Google does that makes us mad, and all other sorts of things. And I am joined this week by the people you're really here to see, both of them, for the first time in a while. That would be the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the exalted one, Ardini. Hi, gentlemen.
Exalted? Wow. I don't need anything like that, man. I'm just happy. I'm happy to be, you know, here today after this. I don't know if the rest of the world's getting this, but definitely America proper, Northern America, maybe even far north in Canada might be getting it. But there's this thing going around that just makes everybody sick, and I've got it, and I can't get rid of it.
Exalted is just one step away from sticking your head in a guillotine.
I was thinking, that's pretty close to, you know, that's something you'd, yeah. I'll be hanging up on a cross or something.
I was going to go with Grand Poobah, but I stopped with Exalted.
Okay. Well, I have visited a church, you know, within the last month, so maybe there's something going on that I haven't realized yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, you sound a bit sick, Eric, but I'm happy it's everybody and not just you, I guess.
Yeah, so it's everybody around here, I think. The chemtrail, you know, went over our town anyway.
I don't know if it's an epidemic, but it's definitely a national trend right now. People being sick. It's very trendy. It's very hip right now.
Yeah, and that's why I'm in it. You know, I just want to be whatever's in. You know, I got to be part of that. Big follower.
Okay. Well, I guess not to leave Eric by himself. Yesterday, I was basically diagnosed with diabetes. So.
Oh, really?
It's official.
Dang, yeah. Man, that's not cool.
It isn't, but it was inevitable. My dad had it. My dad's dad had it. My dad's dad's dad had it.
So
it's just a question of
drugs then now, or?
He wants to prescribe something, yet every time I go to the pharmacy, they say, we don't have anything for you. So I guess no.
Okay, maybe, but no shots, nothing.
Just saying.
You know, No.
Yeah, I have.
So you know.
I have diabetes in my family. My brother's a juvenile diabetic, and I was told at an early age, like, there is a 100% chance that you will be a diabetic at some point in your life. Huh. Well, great. Right. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. I asked him if he had any more good news, and then he asked me to go get a sleep study done, too. So, you know. Yay.
Well, now I know where to get the drink tickets.
Oh, I'm going to drink. Oh. I've already had two friends say vodka. The key is vodka.
Is that what it is? The diabetic juice of choice.
Yeah, there's no sugar.
The sickness ain't bad. I kind of like my voice like this, though. I was noticing this at a meeting I was given the other night, and I was on the microphone and the PA system, and I'm like, wait, you know, this is, there's something to this. You know,
it's a little Barry White going on there.
If this, you know, if this is any permanent damage from this, I'm going to be all right.
Okay.
Well, that was fun. So let me tell you, always ask every week, do you have any hardware? I'm going to start with, I've got some hardware that I've been playing with for almost a full week. I put Friday.
Do you have a new ball chair? I'm sorry, I just got it.
Yeah, I've had this for a little while. I guess you hadn't noticed.
Is that your new hardware?
No, no.
Oh.
I'm sorry if I'm making anybody watching the video seasick. I just can't help but bounce. I've been sitting on a ball, not at home, but at work for like 2 years. I find it personally helps my back issues. I had an injury about 15 years ago. I was literally unable to walk for a time. It was a pretty significant nerve damage. And I have lingering issues from that, and the ball helps because it strengthens those core muscles. And so at some point, I don't really know why, I just kind of looked up one day. Well, I do know. I've started working from home 2 days a week at my job. It's a new company policy they're working on. So as I was previously, I'd just been sitting in this chair for a couple of hours a week. Now, as I'm doing it, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours twice a week, I realized I need a ball here. This chair's not going to do it. So I'm bouncing.
Anyway. I've always considered a ball chair. I had a dentist who had one, and I've just never pulled the trigger on it.
So, you know, you can get the really expensive ones with a base and a back and all that sort of stuff. I have a $29 ball, literally a ball on the floor.
Oh.
Because I'm way too cheap to buy the others.
Well, you know, to me, the best reason to get one for a podcaster is guaranteed not to squeak.
That's true, too. Yeah. Mm.
Because I'm thinking about getting a chair, because this chair I'm in now, it has a little bit of noise to it.
This chair I'm in, I bought at a factory auction 20 years ago, and it still doesn't squeak. it's just a very, very well built chair, but it's got a button that gets you like really high because it's a drafter's chair.
I need one of those.
Lifts you way up.
Maybe it was the chemtrails. Yeah. I'm going to guess it's the chemtrails that did it.
That did what?
That made the chair not squeak.
No, door.
The downside of a ball.
Such a conspiracy theorist.
I'm going to follow this because you brought it up. If you're a tall guy like me, I like to sit up high because I'm a tall guy. And so unlike a chair, the ball must be as round, as wide as it is tall. So mm-hmm. you can't fit them into small spaces. You need a large space because I'm sitting on, a 73-centimeter ball. So to be 70.
This is America. What the hell is a centimeter?
I don't know. But
that's why you get a ball on a frame with wheels and a back.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to spend $150, again, $29. Very big difference there.
Can't beat that.
No. I think I've seen them for around 60, though, before. Probably not good, though.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. The last thing I want to do is get a ball I sit on and go boom.
You know, good balls ain't cheap, and cheap balls ain't good.
So 73 centimeters, by the way, is 29 inches. Just so you
know. I was going to guess 30.
Yeah. I have had two balls pop on me. It's a given. It's going to happen. They're, you know,
you're a man.
It just happens.
But that's not the new hardware.
No.
Maybe it is.
He brought it up.
Two balls pop on him.
Separately, not individually. Oh. I'm going to chase you. You want to go down that road, Eric? I'll go with you. Anyway, so last week I mentioned it that I was going to do it previously on this show, and I just got sick of it. I couldn't handle it anymore. I'm a networking professional. I am a certified network professional. I have a certificate I can show you. And I had crappy Wi-Fi in my own home, and I was tired of it, and I couldn't figure out how to make it work. You know, it's probably because I was never willing to actually spend any money on anything. So finally, I broke down and I bought a 3-pack of Google Wi-Fi for $299.
Oh, okay.
Which is the cheapest of the mesh wireless devices. So Eero is about $100 more, and the Netflix Orbi, I think is called, is about $250 more. So at $300 for a 3-pack, it's the cheapest on the market. Still expensive. And I've been playing with it for the last week, you know, tweaking it every day. And finally, I just came to the conclusion that the only way to get supreme performance out of this thing is to let it control everything. You can't have another DHCP on your network. You can't have another DNS on your network. It has to be everything. But if you give it full control of everything, you know, life is grand. Once you dip into the matrix, you can enjoy that artificial steak and you can be rich and everything is good. I'm having the best Wi-Fi experience ever, literally ever in my entire career of using wireless devices over the last week. Once I just submitted to the great God Google and let it control everything on my network.
Well, and roughly how many wireless devices are on it? I'm going to guess it's around at least 10.
Oh, I can tell you exactly. I run, depending on who's got what turned on, that's the beauty of, that's how it fits into the show. It's controlled entirely from an Android and or iPhone app. I currently have 20 devices active.
Oh,
yeah. Nice.
And see, that's what I believe is the problem with the older hardware. The older hardware, literally everything about it was designed to maybe have 8 devices at the most on it. So once you go above a certain number, I think old hardware just can't handle it.
Hey, in going through the setup of this, did you read anything? I mean, could you take one of the pucks out to your garage if your garage was, say, 100 feet away from your house or 50 feet away from, across the yard from your house?
If they're wired, yes.
Oh.
I mean, if they're Ethernet wired, they have to be able to communicate with one another.
Somehow.
Yeah, somehow.
So
and
the wireless signal wouldn't go that far then.
Documentation recommends, and frankly, I think this is a little stupid, recommends that they be no more than 30 feet away from each other. Well, if you got to put them 30 feet from each other, I mean, you got to have 50 of them in your house. So they kind of talk a double talk there. One thing they say is 3 of them will cover something like 4,700 square feet, but they can only be 30 feet from each other. So it's, you got to position it just right. And also, what I discovered, and this isn't in the documentation anywhere, I just discovered it from first experimentation and later from searching the Google forums, confirmed it. The initial setup must be done in close proximity. So you fire up the first one plugged into the internet, you fire up the second one, it talks to the first one wirelessly. You cannot connect them wired for initial setup. And then you have to connect the third one wired, wireless. But once you get that going, I've got a gigabit backbone in my house, so I've got them spread out so far that they can't talk to one another wirelessly, but they're talking wired over the network. And so I'm getting really amazing performance. It's not quite gigabit, obviously, because it does break down into wireless, but the back channel between the devices is gigabit, and it's using it. And so I'm getting really outstanding performance. But again, I wasn't getting that at first because I was trying to run, you know, my Buffalo router. I was trying to let it do some features. And I was trying to, apparently they each set up their own DHCP. So your devices, depending on which device it connects to, it'll get, like 192.168.84.85.86.87, and you'll get a different one depending on which one you're connected to, but they handle that all between themselves. Mm-hmm. So they can all communicate with each other, and they can all communicate out to the network. But the only way to get the maximum performance out of it is to just let it be everything. And I'm super pleased with it. I'm, you know, usually sitting here in this room above my garage, I would have, you know, one bar of Wi-Fi at the most. And right now I'm at, you know, like 90% signal. And the last speed test I did in this place was 90 plus megabits. Now that's, you know, that's because my internet is only 100. So as with anything wireless, the farther you get away from an access point, the lower the performance. But the way I've got mine positioned, I've got one on each level, one in the basement, one on the main level, one on the upper level. I can go to my neighbors across the street's driveway and use my Wi-Fi and go out all the way out past the bounds of my backyard into the you know, easement that the county owns and still have signal. So anywhere I would want to go, I've got signal.
Kate, now, one question. You said you have them all physically connected to the Ethernet. Yes. Of the house, but you don't have to correctly as long as they can communicate somehow. Exactly.
And you know, there's always an attenuation. The farther away you get, they're only as strong as their weakest link. So if you've got one that's right on the edge, and the phone app will tell you, you know, good or bad, and it'll make a suggestions, you know, you need to bring this one closer in or whatever. But yeah, they don't have to be wired. They can be wireless. But I think that the best use case for them is if you've got a backbone you can plug them into. But yeah, if you don't know, I'm going to really dumb this down. And so if you're an engineer out there, stop yelling at me, just stop writing an email right now. I'm preempting it. essentially the way these work is they're multi-band radios or multi-radios. So let's just say there's two send and two receive in each box. And so one's always listening to your Wi-Fi devices, listening to and sending to, and the other is always listening to the other routers. So as you move your phone from one to the other, they say, okay, I've got a 4 millisecond ping. You've got a 3 millisecond ping. I'm going to hand off. I'm going to stop talking to this device. Now you talk to this device. So as you move around, they intelligently decide which of the devices should talk to you. And they have that back channel, you know, one channel, or actually it's multiple channels, but one set of channels goes to your devices and one set of channels is for their own backhaul communication. So that's how a mesh works. Every device is both a send and a receive, and they can relay as need be. It's not new technology. It's just newly affordable to the regular guy.
Right. And yeah, and they always have their own isolated channels of communication that you're not quote unquote aware of, you know, helping manage everything. And that to me is the other thing. These aren't just routers, quote unquote, and don't get me wrong, $300 is a lot of money, but these aren't just routers. These are actually constantly communicating with each other and renegotiating everything.
Right.
And if you're worried about Google, you know, sniffing all of your traffic by being in control of everything, then I say, if you really need high end network performance, then put it on a subnet, you know, do dual natting, have your Wi-Fi on this, but have all your wired connections not on it. But I know with me, I'm getting really close to doing something because my wireless speeds around my house are just abysmal. Every time my son turns on his Amazon Kindle tablet or my son turns on his phone, it's just with those two, I notice I can't do anything for at least a minute and a half. It just sucks all the bandwidth out of everything. So I'm not too far from you, Mark.
And I wasn't using cheap stuff before. I was just using last generation stuff. And you know, to have, like you said, 20 devices within 2,000 square feet, it really takes modern electronics and modern circuitry to be able to handle that. It takes more brains than you're going to get out of a, you know, a little blue box that you bought at Best Buy in 1994. So I'm super happy with it, but I'm also unhappy. It's best for a grandma, a geek like me who wants to control everything. It's really a negative because I have to, I can't do the kind of traffic shaping and things like that I want to, because the whole purpose of the device is to do your traffic shaping for you. So you have to, you know, just have right. to give that up. And, it took me a week to get there, but once I did, you know, I've happily mainlined the Kool-Aid and I'm willing to follow him, Google into oblivion.
Welcome aboard, man. You're welcome here. I gave up a long time ago myself.
And I'll say, technically speaking, I do have new hardware, but it's not Android related per se. It's the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, you got it.
And I have no problem in saying that $300 is still more better. And I spent a little bit more than $300, so let's just not talk about that. I have no problem debating people when I'm further into the game. I'll say that it is looking like Zelda Breath of the Wild will not be game of the year, but best game ever. A lot of game manufacturers for the last 10 years have been just slowly pushing a little, like, this game's 1% better than the last. This game's 1% better than the last. We haven't seen a lot of differentiation in the last, literally, 5-6 years, at least, with games. Zelda, Nintendo decided we're going to do everything possible we can to make this game better than everything else in every shape, way, or form. No cutting of corners, no chintzing out. What it seems like as you play it, infinite depth in anything you want to get distracted by, whether it's types of bugs and creatures, type of birds, type of cooking, type of weapons, type of strategies, type of attacks, type of enemies, everything just constantly keeps getting deeper and better and harder. And I don't know what it's going to take for other people to really compete with this level of game, but good luck, everybody.
Wow.
And you're actually still here, too.
Yeah.
Well, I've had it now for over a week. I've only played it combined maybe 7-8 hours, 9 at the most. My oldest son, many, many, many more hours.
Well, you left Mark and I just sitting here last week. Never mind. I was sick. That was me.
Actually, no, that was the day I got it. Now that you stop and say that, I got it on that day, so I've had it for about a week.
That actually makes sense why you were willing to blow the whole show just because one guy couldn't be here.
Yeah. And that was the night I was up till 3:30 playing it.
Hey, Eric, hey, what do you think? I just got this in the mail. Yeah, Dor, I can't make it either.
Yeah.
No, I was no. Legitimately even today. I sound like crap, but I don't have a fever like I did then, and I was physically very ill. I couldn't do anything, honestly.
Yeah, and so I'm playing the quote unquote crap out of that. I will say I'm hearing a little bit of news about Android TV stuff that keeps making me think, amongst other things dying in Google, this actually might be one of those things springing back up. Mm. So in the next 6 months, if they don't. I expect them to do something now with Android TV, a little bit more impactful than what they've done in the last like 2-3 years. But we'll have to wait and see if that comes true or not.
Hardware related for me, I don't have anything new. But I gotta say that my year-old phone just keeps amazing me. Even though I still know it's not the fastest, and it wasn't the fastest when I got it, but the whole Google Project Fi and owning a Nexus device—it's not even a Pixel. It just updated yesterday to Android 7.1.2 again. It constantly keeps adding features. I don't have to buy a new phone to receive the new features. Like with Samsung's, you get a year old phone, your updates are done. You're not going to get any new features that your phone didn't come with originally. I mean, maybe you might, but physical features like, now being able to, scroll your messages down by using your fingerprint reader. That was not part of the deal when I bought the thing, and it's there. It still works. And
and you still get the feature where it tells you if a phone calls probably spam call.
Yeah,
right?
It turns all red if it's probably a spam call.
That's just
you can block the call right from there without even answering it or hanging up or anything. Just says block this number. It's probably spam.
Okay. But really quick, that's pointless. It doesn't matter if you block them. It means nothing. If you do that, you'll find within a month or two, you'll have hundreds of numbers dialed
Oh, I just assumed that was on my Project Fize thing where it just won't ever let that number come through. I won't see it.
Well, I would hope that, but here's the gimmick, and I found out from a guy who works in the business. The reason why telemarketers call you from all different phone numbers, including your own area code, isn't that they're spoofing numbers, because spoofing numbers is illegal and it comes with a big hefty fine. What I found out they do is they literally have guys in every area code who, this is their business. They order like 200, 300, whatever phone numbers, and they have a complex switching hardware that then they basically lease out to different telemarketing companies. Okay, you can have these 50 phone numbers for today. You can have those 40 phone numbers for today. And then every couple months, the company basically completely dumps all of its phone numbers and gets brand new phone numbers. Mm. So it's impossible to keep up and on these phone numbers, because eventually you're going to like dump your phone, get a brand new cell phone, and your number will be one of those numbers that was a spam number 2.5 years ago. So somebody, you might try to call somebody and your phone number's blocked because they're cycling through numbers so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I'm not sure how they take care of it. I do enjoy that part of the feature. I just, I mean, I like the integration with Google Music and everything on this phone. It, I like the feeling when I get an update. I'm like, ooh, what kind of, it's like a new phone again for me. Cause I'm gonna be, you know, flashing my phone, wiping it clean probably every 3 months, no matter what phone it is. Right. I don't know.
Well, I have a question for both you and Mark. Do you guys use the Google Assistant? I don't know if you got it on your device.
I do. I've used it once.
I find myself using my Google Home more. I mean, even though my phone's sitting right in front of me, I still talk to my Google Home more than I talk to my phone.
Gotcha. Because I am pretty sold on the good morning, or you can say a couple different things. I actually really like that feature when you basically tell it good morning and then it tells you date, time, expected weather, expected traffic on your routine, because it knows where you're going because it knows you, it's your phone. And then gives you synopsis of news events. By default, if you don't pick anything, it gives you both NPR and Fox just to make sure you're pissed off no matter who you are, kind of thing. But to be honest, I actually liked that feature. So at least a couple times a week, I tell it good morning or what do I have planned today or whatever, and just listen to that, especially when I'm at a podcast because, you know, I'm bored.
So it's basically Google Now, but with voice.
With the daily summary thing, yes. Yes. And to be honest, that's the only feature I know of that was not, quote unquote, completely baked in with Google Now. And if you haven't heard, basically Google Now is dead or will be dead or very shortly will be dead, but they're not going to continue it. They're basically fracturing it up like
that. So what's going to happen on the left side of my Google launcher if I choose to use the Google launcher? I wonder.
They're dumping the launcher. You're going
to okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you're still going to have stuff like the cards available to you and those kind of things. But it's just not going to be called Google Now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I was going to bring an app tonight, but I've got a rant. So I don't know why. And I did actually.
Oh, this is the wrong show.
I reached out to I reached out to the developer now. So years ago we brought the Craigslist Notifica app, which turned into Craigslist Pro, which worked just fine. 2 months ago, it comes off of the market. You can't get it on the Play Store. So I'm like, oh man, that was, you know, I use it a lot. So then I found this other one called Postings for Craigslist, and it was by TrixieSoft. And it took a little getting used to. I mean, the UI was much different than Craigslist Pro, but it worked. I mean, and you can do the search across multiple locations around your area and stuff too. So I thought that was going to be my go-to, and I figured since I used it for a couple months now, I figured I'd share it with you guys. Well, I go to find it today, even though it's on both of my devices still, it is no longer available in the Play Store. So the next time I wipe my phone, I will probably have to be looking for another new Craigslist app, unless this one somehow comes back. But I did reach out to him to see what happened, and because I'm curious, and I'll let you guys know if I find out.
Or you could just back up the APK.
Or I could just back up the APK off my phone.
Yeah.
If they've removed it from everywhere, there's a reason for it. You know, it may be security, it may be quality, it may be because Craigslist doesn't want it. For me, any of those reasons would be reason enough not to use it. I mean, if it's harming the Craigslist service enough that they pulled it, that's reason enough for me not to use it.
Well, I used to think, you know, the Craigslist Notifica was breaking rules, I thought. But then they were kind of like the official Craigslist app when it was Craigslist Pro, and it was there for years, and it was fine. This one isn't doing anything that one didn't do. But I hope it's not a security thing, because I do have it installed on all my devices. That was my first thing that popped in my head. I'm like, oh, man, so my data's been leaking to this. Okay, but hopefully not.
So are you, the guys, changing gears a little bit, familiar with the Google Family Link service? It's a invitation-only beta currently.
I've heard of
it. Yeah, I checked it out. It wasn't anything I needed, though.
You have to. All your devices have to have Nougat. Some devices can have Marshmallow, but anything with Nougat gets it. And of course, for schlubs like me who paid for Google apps, we don't get it. So tough noogies on me. But it's a neat way to essentially own your kids' devices. You know, to see what they're doing. The way I understand it, obviously I haven't been able to try, I've just read it, is for all intents and purposes, you're logged into their phone at all times remotely, so you can see what they're doing and see when they're doing it. And, you know, if you're a parent of a small child, that's probably a good thing. If you're a parent of a college-age kid, maybe not. But I just thought I'd bring it here. I know I haven't heard you guys mention it, and I only recently heard about it, only to find out that I can't even test it.
Why was that you can't do it? I'm sorry, I missed that.
None of my devices support it. It's only supported on Marshmallow on some devices, and I have Google Apps. And so I would have to go recreate all new accounts for my whole family to even test it.
Hmm. You know, my son just turned 16. It's probably too old for that app, don't you think, to do something like that?
Well, I mean, it's a good opportunity to monitor, you know, screen time, things like that. It depends on what your family rules are. I would say 16 is probably the age at which you should start backing off of those things.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have a phone, so I was thinking maybe possibly giving him my 5X and me upgrading to a different thing. And, again, on Google Project Fi, so that, you know, the rate stays low. Because that's another thing I love about this one. I've never paid over $50 a month, and I only paid that much once. So I was thinking about just adding...
That alone is a really good cost saving that could justify you to pay more upfront for a better device.
Right. I wish they had Nexus devices now, not Pixel devices. I'd rather not spend $750 on any kind of device, but
should hope not.
I don't know. I hated the 6P though when I had it. I don't think I could buy a used one of them. I don't know if I would want to just go laterally to another 5X at this point either.
All right. So Eric had an app turned rant. So Dor, bring us our first true app of the night.
Okay. Then speaking of parental control, I guess, the app I'm going to bring is the official Nintendo Switch parental control app. I will say the two things that I really do think they got right about the console is its dynamic portability. And that's the way I phrase it. To where I'm playing the game on the TV, the wife comes home and wants to watch her murder, death, rape TV dramas. I don't have to tell her, can you wait a second? Can I save first? I'm in a really important battle or whatever. I don't have to say any of that. I just say, okay, just walk up and just put her on the dock and I just continue right where I left off without stopping. The second thing is that profiles or parental stuff, to where I can basically have Zelda and create virtual unlimited profiles. I'm sure there's a limit to it, but I can have my sons with their own unique profiles. So it's really difficult for them to quote unquote contaminate or ruin my game. And it's really difficult for me to do it to theirs. And each time you create an account, it asks of the age and do you want it to be under parental controls? So if you do say yes, then what you do get is an app on your Android or iOS device, of course, where you can very easily monitor how much your kids are playing, what they're playing, when they're playing, and you can set hard limits on the amount of time they can play or the time of day that it turns off automatically. What I heard also was when games support it, they're actually going to enable you to take higher rated games, like teen games or mature games, and in the parental app, turn them down to E for Everyone games. I don't know how true that is, but that would be, that to me would be one of those incredible features that parents I would think, would really like.
And take your first-person shooters into paintball wars instead of blood, stuff like that.
Right, or just make them like non-human and, you know, stuff like True. That.
Yeah, I'm just going to say I'm watching the video here on it, and it shows that the student, the young child, got to the one-hour time limit and then quietly turned off the game player and walked away. That doesn't happen ever.
As any young student would.
apparently, I'm just looking at it, showing the features. You can have it either just worn when the time limit's up or just completely go away when the time limit's up. I like that. But I want to know how Bowser uses a capacitive touchscreen with those claws. I don't think that's actually a possible thing.
special, like, nail polish, maybe? I'm not sure, but I will say this is the video that I truly believe let people know, because this video has been out since, I want to say, September, October timeframe. This video let everyone know that how serious that they were taking this stuff, because this parental control video actually goes into individual features and things and how you can do it, and not just telling you how your kids can be protected. And it's fully animated, pretty quality, I gotta say, better than some cartoons I'm seeing. It's definitely better animation than the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
I don't even want to go there. All right, Eric, what else you got?
Well, since we're on Nintendo, I'm going to bring a game that I was pre-ordered for a while. It's called Super Mario Run. I know Dor probably did not install this or is not going to install this just because he doesn't like run games and he thinks this is some kind of a bastardization of Nintendo. But it's made by them, so it can't be all bad. And I'll tell you what, I've played it for a while. It just came out yesterday. And it's, you know, it's not bad. It for a run game, it's different than most of the other ones. There's some going backwards in it. There's a little bit, but it is designed to be played with one hand. But the graphics are really nice. It's engaging. There's a lot to it, you know, as there should be from a Nintendo game. I mean, sure, it's not going to be Super Mario Brothers or Super Mario World or anything like that, but it's a fun game, you know, for free on your phone.
So it's not your classic swipe left, swipe right, swipe up.
No, nope. It's tap. It's all tap. Long taps, like short taps, taps while you're in the air, do other things. Taps while you're up against a wall will tap you, you know, to bounce back and forth up walls.
Wall jump.
Jump, yeah. A lot of well-timed taps, basically.
Okay. So,
yeah,
we've got a couple of emails, literally a couple. So let me read one of those. The first one is from our friend Chris Settler. Says, I recently found and installed a free and then promptly paid for the pro version of 3C Toolbox. It's a helpful to have root and exposed frameworks, but many of the features apparently work without it, and the free version is great for checking that out. I am rooted and have exposed installed, so for me it's perfect. Not only does it replace my battery saver, but also my backup freeze application, Titanium, apps permission manager, background apps, manager / killer, previously Greenify, and custom tweaker. It's a complex app, not for the faint of heart, but it may not be that much needed with the newer versions of Android, but I'm still on my OnePlus One with the first version of Oxygen OS. I would suggest Dor take it for a spin. Perhaps it's not as needed anymore, but I'm sure it is. I sure use it to keep this clunky old OnePlus running smoothly. Regards, Christian, a.k.a. Captain, new furnace, air conditioner, dishwasher, and three hit and runs. Wow, it's sure fun being retired. Zero. Sigh.
I would run it, but not root. On my, on my Honor 8, because it's a non-American sold phone, can't walk into any store and buy it. It has certain features enabled by default, like tethering and the such. And it has tremendous permission granularity, far superior than any American phone I've ever seen in my life. So I've never even looked up how to root my device. Just don't need to. When you buy better devices, I just don't think it's necessary. I did use Oxygen for a while, and I could understand needing Oxygen with root because its permission granularity wasn't really great. But I will say I did just let a friend borrow my old OnePlus One for the next 2 weeks, and he's a Samsung 7 Edge user. And the first thing he said to me was, "Wow, Steve, I can't believe how slow this phone is." To which I just started, you know, going off on, "What do you mean slow? I just, you know, blanked and everything." He said, no, I'm being sarcastic. This is way faster than my phone."
What?
And he, oh yeah. Samsung devices are, and he finally believed me when he saw them side by side. Everything on a Samsung phone is throttled immensely and intensely. So everything runs at the same pace. So you never experience a slowdown because everything is slowed down a little bit. So he finally started to believe me when I said that, and I showed him that. And then I told him, I said, "Look, the phone's 3 years old. I can still go and swap it right now and sell it for $150. Can't say that about a lot of phones.
Yeah. I've never played with a S7 Edge to know, but I would just assume it would kick the pants off of that thing, being it's that old.
My wife has the OnePlus One that I got, you know, got an invitation for way back when, and her birthday's coming up in a couple of months. And I said, "You know, you got a 3-year-old phone. Do you want me to get you a new phone?" She said, "Nah, I'm happy with this one. It's a workhorse."
Gotcha. Yeah. And I'm looking at the video of this app here that we got sent. Oh my Lord. Talk about in depth. I mean, the amount of granularity, this ain't granularity. This is like at the molecular scale, molecular.
I can't say the word either.
Yeah, exactly. Bueller. So yeah, if I did have Root, I can tell you now, I'm pretty sure I would use and abuse this app.
$6.49. It's not cheap, but
it's cheaper than Mario, Super Mario. And that's the thing I don't like about that game, is it teases you and gives you the first 3 levels or 4 levels or whatever, and then tells you if you want to continue, you got to pay $9.99 or $10. Too much money.
Well, I mean, it says it works best on rooted phones, works well on stock phones too. So I mean, you could spend $6.50 and put it on your stock phone.
Well, and I'm going to link in the notes to the free version that is out there.
Oh.
Just so people can see it.
And yeah, the Super Mario is, or the Mario Run is $9.99 afterwards.
Yeah.
I remember saving up my lawn mowing money and paying $65 for Donkey Kong on the Atari. So
wow.
$9 sounds pretty cheap.
You know, this app, Chris, I mean, this is a tinkerer's dream. This thing you can just...
See, and I think you just described Chris to a T.
I mean, I'm right there with him, you know, usually. Lately, it all depends on if I've got extra time and somebody's making me sit next to him to watch a TV show or something, this is when an app like this gets fired up, because I'm not going to watch a TV show. I'm going to be tinkering.
Wow, this is really, really in-depth.
It's got some great-looking graphics, too.
Oh, and to me, that's one of the selling things, to be able to pull up, you know, either pie graphs or bar graphs and see things over time is really, I don't say important to me, but it gives me a sense of, you know, I don't say accuracy, but you know what I mean. Oh, and it's themeable. God, like that.
I wanted to bring up, Eric, I can't even remember the name of it because I uninstalled it. The network management, watch what's going on my phone app you brought a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
I installed that. And I uninstalled it very quickly because I couldn't shut it up. Every time something did something, it left me a notification.
Only the first time. It's telling you the very first time it does something.
I know, but like in the first 3 days, it was crazy annoying.
Well, I mean, after every app opens once, it don't do that anymore.
Well, it wasn't just every time it opens. It was every time it does something new. Like this app requested contacts. The same app requested network access. Anyway. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's
wire.
Great for what it is, but I just couldn't handle it anymore. Yeah, glass wire.
Yeah. It gave me 2 notifications today. One last night. First networked activity for Super Mario Run, and then I just installed an app right before the show, and it told me first network connection. I guess there are a few things it's done, but yeah, it wasn't too bad. I mean, I've only got probably 70 apps installed, though. I don't have like hundreds right now. I'm good at ignoring my notifications anyway. What?
I'm going to bring an app just because the conversation in the chat room has prompted me to do it. Bo.dot in the chat room mentioned that he has the same phone I have, and that he couldn't get the Moto X, Moto Voice to work well in the car. And I said, I had the same experience, but I use the Agent app for that anyway. And I know that we've talked about the Agent app on this show because I found out about it on this show, but it was quite some time ago. So I'm just going to mention that. It's called Agent Do Not Disturb and More by Coleridge Apps. And it's a great tool. It's a collection of tools. It's got a battery saver. It's got a parking location thing. It's got a meeting thing. What I use it for, I use it for three things. I use it for the sleep. I have sleep hours, and they're different on nights and weekends, where my phone silences itself. I have it tied to my calendar, so anytime I'm on a meeting, like right now, because I'm on in a meeting, my phone is silenced. And for driving, it'll read your texts and let you reply back in voice. Those are the three features I use. It's a paid app now. I don't know how much it costs because I paid for it a long time ago, but I think it's four-ish dollars, and I find it absolutely worth it. So bringing one back from the attic, Agent Do Not Disturb and More by Coleridge Apps.
Yeah, I don't know. It says I have it installed, so I can't tell the price either.
Well, the price isn't to buy the app. The price is for in-app purchase.
All right, so that's the when I bought it, there was a free and a pro version. I guess they've moved from that where it's feature disabled until you pay for it.
That's what it looks like.
In-app purchases are $4, it says.
Okay.
There you go. Then that's how much it costs. Yeah.
That was it's my daily sort of life-saving app, particularly for meetings. I use it all the time for that.
Yeah, to me, that's one of the things that I really do think is nice. Automatically setting things based off of events, whether it be volumes or whatever, I think that's really cool.
And what makes it special is not just that it will mute your phone, but you can set certain people can get through even if you're muted. Like, for example, my meeting one, my boss can get through. His texts and his messages come through on the meetings because most of the time when I'm in a meeting and my boss is messaging me, I need to see that. The sleep one, if you text me, it'll reply back and say, I'm asleep right now. If you text the word urgent, I'll wake, get notified, or anybody who calls twice in 5 minutes gets through, considering that an emergency. And those are all configurable settings.
Wow, that's really smart.
Yeah.
See, to me, that's settings made by a company of people that actually use their apps. They actually dog food their app.
So will your text messages still read to you once they're not delivered via Hangouts?
Yeah, because it hooks into, it's uses the assistive hook, I think. And so any text message that comes in, regardless of what your primary app is, it's actually a little annoying in that it comes over the voice and then also goes to the app too. So you get dual notifications, but that's a minor annoyance I'm willing to live with for what it gives me.
See, and this is rare. This is really rare. This is unbelievably rare. In the description of the app, it actually has a section called App Permissions Explained, where it actually tells you why it needs access to send SMS, tells you why it needs access to read contacts, tells you why it needs all the accesses that it has. That's not common.
Yeah. So for like my sleep timer, for example, I have it set for 11 p.m., but only if I'm plugged in and haven't moved the phone in 20 minutes. So it uses the motion sensor and the charger. So if I'm out late at night and it's 11:30, it won't go to sleep on me. But if I plug it in and don't touch it for 20 minutes, it goes to sleep.
Wow.
Right. Or if you're on a boat.
Well, that too.
If you're sleeping on a boat on a 12-volt supply.
It could happen.
No, that's a little if this and that-ish. You know, there's some programmable features that you can really customize on this thing. That's very cool.
Yeah, and there was an update. Google did an update that broke it. So notifications didn't work for a couple of days, and then like 2 days later, there was an update to the app that fixed that again. So they're very responsive in that sort of thing.
Nice. Thank you, Coleridge. You guys are doing a good job.
All right, Dor, back to you, my friend.
I'm going to give a quick double shot. I'll just say that I don't intend on talking about the games too long. First one is, and they're both by Capcom. Capcom just released both of these games on Android. It says Wolf of the BF Commando Mobile. This is the old arcade game Commando, and it was on Atari with toned down graphics. I will say this is the one that I like because I can actually play it and not die in 5 seconds. I can actually live for, 40 seconds, live a little bit longer, not crazy longer. And I don't remember if I brought this, so I'm bringing it again. And now that I'm saying that, I'm sure I did bring this before. Ghouls and Goblins Mobile from Capcom.
It looks familiar.
Yeah, I believe I did bring it because I remember now people saying they were complaining about the big buttons, the large buttons or whatever. This one's $1.99. Still unbelievably difficult. One of the games is just not easy. Nothing about it is easy. But I bought it and I'm stuck with it because I bought it. But it's just way too hard. I had much more fun playing Commando.
99 cents for Commando and $1.99 for Ghosts and Goblins.
I don't see Ghosts and Goblins in our list, though. So.
Okay, then maybe I didn't. I could have swore I did, though.
You said it looks familiar. It's 8-bit graphics. They all look familiar.
No. I could swear I remember you reading the comments and people complaining about big buttons. I don't know.
Ain't nobody complaining about a big button.
It's all a blur.
Well,
all right. But you know, retro, you know.
Probably that other Android show he does.
Are you two-timing Honest Door?
Never.
It's more like 24 timing, isn't it?
Fred took it to the pocket the pocket show or something in Britain when he was over there.
No, honestly, I think that show's now done and they're doing different things, which I think is a shame because I really like that show.
Yeah, it was neat.
You know.
All right, Eric, what's your next app?
All right. We're going to go to Bullet Hell 300. It's this. Speaking of hard games to play, this is a very visually pleasing game, but the controls are just not the greatest for this. It's just, I don't know, kind of Galaga-ish game with just tons of bullets all over the place. And it's a really good game because it has no video. But if you're into that kind of thing, you know, shooting things coming down at you and you got to go up and get them and tons of little bullets everywhere, you'll like it.
Do you have to dodge all of those bullets?
Yeah, you can take a lot of hits. Wow. You don't have to dodge them all. You can take a lot of hits, but there's certain times where they just spray unusually large gobs of bullets, and then you can't get past that. But yeah, it's a pretty tough game.
That was a huge "That What She Said" moment, but I'm gonna let it go.
Bullet Hell 300. Oh, this is like this is almost like there's a whole series of, I believe, Japanese arcade games, video games, where 90% of the game is figuring the correct pattern out and timing out to avoid these kinds of bullets, where they I equate it to the complexity with like getting higher up in Dance Dance Revolution, the pattern stuff and pulling it all
like Pac-Man too, right?
Yeah, to like this, where it is nothing about this game is easy. This is advanced, and yeah, you can always take at least a couple shots, because if one shot killed, you know, this would be worse than Flappy Bird.
Yeah, I'm guessing you could probably take 20 shots somewhere in there. You got a little power meter, along with the power meters above each of your people you have to shoot.
Right, so my question is the game as good-looking, moving, as it is in the screenshots? Because to me, the screenshots are very good-looking.
It's probably as good-looking, moving, or better-looking, moving, but the controls on the game I didn't care for.
Did you have to drag your finger around the whole screen?
Yeah, but it's really slow. I mean, the dragging is not like right on. It's not quick. It's not nearly as quick as I was hoping it would be. And you're just constantly shooting. It just not your nonstop bullets flying out too. And then you know sometimes things will fall down and your bullets will change it to a different kind of gun, you know, or a different pattern, things like that.
So you got upgrades and stuff
as they fall at you, just like the classic game was, you know.
Okay, well, yeah, because my first assumption was maybe there's upgrades that make you move faster, but maybe not.
Yeah, you know, that's possible, I suppose.
This game is Bullet Hell Shooter for beginners. When you destroy the enemy, you can get gold. You can make more powerful your drone with the gold. So, there you go.
I want to know where the gold is.
Apparently, the 300 means 300 levels. So, holy crap.
Oh.
And this is by Design Drill KK.
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 Do you want me to bring two?
Sure, go ahead.
Door did. This next one it's a very interesting, beautiful type game, you know, from the guy who may have brought games that teach you how to do pottery. But this is called Shadowmatic, and it's a game, you know, where like somebody holds their hand up like this and it looks like a dog on a sheet behind a light. Basically, you've got two inanimate objects you can rotate, spin, and put next to each other and on top of each other, and you need to form, you need to find the right place where they need to set to make something on the wall. And you don't know what it is you're trying to make when you begin. You've just got two, and they're kind of like metallic. They're kind of cool-looking pieces of metal. But there's a little gauge in there that kind of starts lighting up. There's like six little dots or something. And if you get close to it, those will start lighting up as you get closer. So then you're like, you might be onto something. But there's so many different ways that you can use your phone to rotate and manipulate these objects that actually adds complexity to the game.
So it's like a getting warmer, getting colder.
Yes. Thing. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So the control is just rotating your phone.
Rotating the objects on your phone with your finger.
So you tap the device and then move it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a round button, and that, like, say if you have two objects at the same time, it'll switch between objects. If you hold down on that button and move your other finger across the screen, that'll rotate both objects together. Or you tap the button to switch back and forth between the two objects.
This is, you brought games like this in the past, Eric, of like similar style, visual, three-dimensional, rotational puzzle things. Dude, this is not easy. There's nothing about this. There is nothing about this that I'm watching. It's like, oh, yeah, well, you just, like a matter of fact, you just spin it this way. No. Nothing looks.
No, and no, there's no hints on by like what the things you originally start out with may look like at all. I mean, they're two pieces of metal might turn into like a shirt or something, you know. It's like, yeah, it's
crazy cool. Installed, man.
It's beautiful. Beautiful the way the levels level out, just the transitions between screens, all of the backgrounds and the textures on the pieces are just well done. Very nice. By Triada Studio Games.
All right.
Okay. If we were to say something is app of the show, this might take it.
Oh, wow. That could be a new thing, huh?
I don't know. As long as it ain't work, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Mark already brought a couple apps. He's got one in his tank. He's thinking could probably beat that one for sure, Dor.
We'll see. But first, let me read an email from our friend Todd Evans. He says, hey, guys, just a quick note to share an app that I came across a couple of days ago. It's called Naro. It's just a cool little Chrome extension that allows you to save articles like using Pocket. However, you can have them loaded onto your podcast player. Lost my place. Have them loaded on your podcast player, then they'll be read to you as a podcast. It's not a perfect solution, but it's a very good start.
Wow.
The voice used for the reading could stand some tweaking. It has some somewhat computer-like sound to it. The app itself merely provides you with the link to enter into your podcast search to access your saved articles. I only occasionally come across a TLDR article, but when I do, I use my Chrome extension to save it to my podcast player to listen to it while at work. I drive a semi from Cincinnati to Bowling Green, Kentucky every night, so I have ample amount of time for listening, roughly 9 to 10 hours worth. My particular podcast player of choice is Podkicker Pro. It's a very clean player that isn't overly graphical. I guess it could be considered more on the minimalist side. It's like simplistic and ease. I like its simplicity and ease. I guess that makes this email a twofer for apps, although Podkicker is a regurgitation from episode 89. I think it's worth sharing as well. The developer did a good job of integrating playback speed control. It previously used Prestissimo, which had some glitches. I hope I was able to give someone a new solution for listening in Naro as well as Podkicker. As always, a quick shout out to my fellow listeners. Throw these guys some coin like I do because they deserve it. You can do that at patreon.com/androidappaddicts. Keep up the great shows. Todd Evans.
Wow. But between this app from Todd and your agent app earlier, man, everybody's just going to be listening to everything on their phone and never have to read another line of text.
Sorry for the delays there. I was trying to copy the links and read the email, and it turns out I'm not that good.
Yeah, I'll say I gave away the app of the show too early. I don't know. This is definitely a competitor. I use Git Pocket. So what I do, I ping articles and I get Pocket, and then I can listen to it there, or I can just do a share to an app I have called Say It. I like the fact that this is its own silo of listening to web pages. So hypothetically then, throughout the day, I can ping, 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 shoot 4 or 5 of them. And at the end of the day, in one interface, go back and listen to all of the things that I pinned. The only thing I don't see is variable speed playback option. So I'm going to install it, play with it.
So that's not a Gnarl. So the way I'm understanding it, Gnarl is just, it RSSifies a list of things. So you just subscribe to your Gnarl RSS. It throws in the rest of your podcast. So you're listening to Android App Addicts next, then you're listening to Gnarl, then you're listening to Everyday Linux, and it just goes right there in your feed. I love that about it.
Okay, we did have an app just like this 3 years ago that did the exact same thing. But as soon as we found it, as soon as we liked it, like 2-3 weeks later, it bellied up and failed. So I'm going to definitely install this and try this, because I would much rather listen to it all in one interface, because that's one of the failings I have using those other solutions. There is no variable speed playback. Even if it's computer animated, you know, computer generated voice, I still want it sped up at least a little bit. So I'm going to definitely be trying this one.
And the beauty of it being an RSS is you could share it, and I could listen to things you find interesting, and you could listen to things I find interesting, just as another feed in my podcast player.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's cool.
And I got to make one more shout out for Castback, the app that was born out of my whining about the inability to communicate with a podcast audience while the podcast is going. I won't talk about it anymore. We have the developer on here, but just, it's still out there, people. Castback. Door, go ahead and empty your tank, my friend.
Okay, what I'm going to bring next, I'm going to actually slide this all the way over there. Okay. First, I'm going to bring another extremely retro game. This retro game is T for Teen. Actually, might be closer to mature, I'll say, even though it's, you know, very pixelated. This is a la Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2 back on the PC back in, I want to say, like 98, 99. So this, I want to say, is at least 16-bit graphics, not quite 32-bit graphics. Retro City Rampage DX by V-Blank Entertainment. Action, 195 reviews, T for Teen, $5 to buy, 4.7 average reviews, 160 of them are 5-star reviews. Current version 1.0.5, updated January 11, 2017, between 1,000 and 5,000 installs. Content rating, teen violence, suggestive themes, and use of alcohol. So to me, this is not at all a kid-friendly game, even though if you glance at it, you might think it's a kid-friendly game.
I do like watching him. It looks like he's riding a monkey through town at one point. Along with the traffic.
Yeah, it looked like a King Kong.
Yeah. Yeah, Dor.
This is crazy is what I'm going to say.
These are definitely your games. Mark and I, you know, we've had boardroom discussions about these games, and they are definitely yours.
Right. I'll say, I'm spending at the cheapest $10 on games on the Nintendo Switch. There is a game coming to the Switch called, I believe, maybe Hotline Hawaii, which to me looks like that game's little brother. Like, this would be the little brother to that game, because its graphics are turned down just a little bit.
Turned down for what?
Turned down from what those graphics look like, where they're definitely like 32-bit graphics, at least, you know, where these are basically enhanced 16-bit graphics. Okay. That's what I'll say.
So, okay, this is... I talk to the teens, you know, because I need to know how the Switch is being portrayed in their worlds, which the overall theme I hear is there's no games for it. So how many games do you have for your Switch, and how many do you think are out there about right now?
Well, first off, I'll say, thankfully, they have no idea what they're talking about. This system was purposely launched in what's called a soft launch. It's not supposed to be day one, 50 games. They purposely did not do that. It was the end of their calendar year, 30 days before their end of their calendar year. They just wanted to put it out there and see what it would sell. And I personally believe they had an inner challenge of, when we launch, we're only going to have Zelda as the hallmark game. We will not let any other big ticket games come out except for Zelda. We want to see how good it can do. It want to, and how good, you know, you can do as a console. Unbelievably exceeded everyone's expectations. GameStop worldwide said this was one of the best console launches we've ever seen in sheer numbers. And they're still selling out. Places are getting stock in later that day, selling out constantly. Day one, 5 physical games, maybe 20 virtual games you could download. So to have on the end of the first week after launch, to have 30 games available to play, which is roughly, I'm going to say 30, is probably closer to 25. I think that's perfectly fine. But if you play Zelda for 3 seconds, it doesn't matter what other games are out there. You're not going to play them. Okay, and that's what, not me, that's what everybody else is saying. I'm listening to plenty of other podcasts that are both Nintendo loving and just game loving in general, where they speak very highly about PlayStation and their VR experience and talk about their Xbox Scorpio is coming, it's going to destroy. And they say, once you start playing Breath of the Wild, you cannot stop.
Does it matter if you play that game on the TV or the screen? Is it still just as, is it going to be just as impressive for somebody who just picks it up and plays it on the small screen?
For me, it matters because of my eyesight. Okay. When I take it out of the dock and I play it in the portable mode, I just don't see the fine grained details. Everybody else I've handed it to and they've seen it in portable mode have said, wow, I can't believe how good this screen looks. So, you know, it depends on, my logic is, depends on your eyesight. If you have good eyesight, even though it is 720p in portable mode, it's probably.
So it's been 2 weeks. Has anybody beat the game yet? Is there it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the speed and the speed running community can beat it in 50-something minutes, which is insane because the Great Plateau, even if you're great, I have to believe, which is the beginning intro stage, at least is 20-something minutes minimum until you can get off that. And then the designer said from day one, as soon as you play the game, you can basically go straight towards the boss if you want to. It's going to be really difficult. You probably won't have much luck when you first do it, but you can do it. So that's always been out there as a possibility. The other end of the spectrum, 100% people have gotten, but not easy. No way. Nothing about it easy. Very, very, very time consuming.
100% what?
When you're done the game, I believe it tells you a percentage that you did. Okay. And to get 100% is not easy at all. The land is unbelievably grand. To go to walk from one end to the other diagonally, I'm sure, is over 45 minutes straight of just holding down the stick and just walking. You can fast travel, you can horse travel, but to find every little thing in every single nook and cranny in that 45 minute angle thing, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, I can't wait to actually see it in person. I've been watching a lot of videos about it.
All right, you said you had 2 games, Dor.
Well, he said he had 2 games. You want me to bring 2 apps? I can bring 2 apps.
Well, I said empty your tank, and you said I'm going to bring a couple, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. Yes. Okay, what I'm going to bring next isn't a game, though. This is a notification/news app. I honestly like this. You can subscribe to a number of websites. It's called Tickers, the notification app. There's a whole bunch of different websites you can subscribe to. For instance, The Onion, if you want. And then every time The Onion puts out a new article, you get a notification. You can subscribe to other, let's just say, more newsy websites if you want. Ars Technica, I know, is one of them. Life Hacker, I believe, is one of them. Time, Wired, The Next Web, The Intercept. There's a whole bunch of websites you can subscribe to. So whenever there's a brand new article, you can get the notification right there and read it. I like the fact that I can subscribe to, let's say, 20 different websites, but just show me updates when it's The Onion. And then when I get the updates from The Onion, I scroll through the app. I can see all the other websites as well. Really light app, seemed pretty snappy. Haven't had any, my phone doesn't complain about how much battery that it's using, which is good because it complains very quickly about apps using battery. So it's definitely a lighter app. Just works. As far as I can tell, it just works. Works really good, too.
All right.
Okay. What I'm going to bring next. Okay. Okay. What I want to bring next is a game, heavy game, many megs of downloading game, called Batman Arkham Underworld. I want to say this was a completely free game. There is some kind of in-app purchases. I'm not sure, but yet I played it only for a little bit. Top-down, three-quarter view Batman game by Warner Brothers, T14, 6,454 reviews, average 3.9, updated March 15th, version 1.0.something. Between 100,000 and 500,000 installs. Again, this is Batman we're talking about, the very psychologically unstable superhero. So it has content rating of violence, blood, and, you know, I'm sure some more stuff in there. I just thought this was kind of cool.
So if I'm reading this right, you're fighting against Batman, not as Batman.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the character you are, though. I tried to look at it, at least the part I saw and played. I can't remember the guy's name.
Scarecrow?
I thought this... No, it wasn't Scarecrow. This guy looked crazy. Looked like a mutant, basically. This game, I'll say, was kind of fun. I played it for at least a half an hour or so. My son seemed to enjoy it as well. But it was definitely a bigger download. This was well over 100 megs in the download section. I can't remember how big it was.
And the only two reviews in the App Store both say it crashes and doesn't work.
In-app purchases might fix that, between 99 cents and $199.99.
Well, I see, you know, there's like 6,000 plus reviews, and I can see at least, you know, 10, 20.
I'm only seeing two on my screen. Interesting.
Yeah. Can you scroll to the right?
You can sort by helpfulness and what devices, I'll say, which I think is they're adding some more stuff. I don't know if I like how they're changing up the ratings kind of thing and how the reviews are doing. But, you know, they are Google. They kind of do what they want to do.
Yeah, don't get me started. I had a whole rant planned, but we're already an hour in, so I'm not going to do that.
Okay, then just one more quickie. Extremely unfriendly game for kids called Slaughter Mature 17 plus.
Nice.
And the reason I'm bringing this game is because how this game looks and plays, I'm kind of shocked at how well this plays. Again, it's called Slaughter by Ray Spark, Mature 17 plus, $1.49 to buy, 359 reviews, 4.4 average reviews, 234 five-star reviews, updated December 10th, 2016, between 5,000 and 10,000 installs, version 1.21. Intensive violence and blood is what I'm going to say, it says. But I was really genuinely impressed at how well this game ran. Pretty smooth. You know, you walk around with a shotgun, go boom, boom. You know, it's not much more you can say about the game except for you shoot people. Shoot lots of people. You shoot everybody that you see.
What if you can use a Bluetooth controller with this game?
There's no reason why you can't. You just might need a Shim app to configure the Bluetooth controller to on-screen controls, is what I'll say.
Yeah, it looks...
All right, anything else?
I'll stop there. I'll save the other ones.
Eric, what about you? You got anything left in your tank?
Yeah, I've got one. I didn't really want to bring it, but... Okay. I'll get
you don't
it out.
Have to. I'm not forcing you.
Huh? No. All right. I'm gonna leave it because I didn't like it that much. I don't think it's worthy.
We're not worthy.
It really wasn't, and now I lost it, so it's definitely not. And I'll delete it.
Well, we got a full slate of 14 apps tonight, starting with Nintendo Switch Parental Controls by Nintendo Corporation Limited, Super Mario Run by Nintendo Corporation Limited, 3C Toolbox Pro by 3C. Agent, Do Not Disturb and More by Coleridge Apps, Wolf of the BF Commando Mobile by Capcom Corporation, Ghosts and Goblins by Capcom, Bullet Hell 300 by Design Drill KK, Shadowmatic by Triada Studio, Narrow Articles to Audio by Narrow Technology Corporation, Pod Kicker Pro by QVGA, Retro City Rampage DX by V Blank Entertainment, Tickers, the notification app by Mark B. Ludolph, Batman Arkham Underworld by Warner Brothers Entertainment, Slaughter by Ray Park, And that's all of them. That's a ton of them. We made up for being gone last week, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, see, you try to give me something like App of the Day, and that just makes me, because that game that I was going to bring would have revoked it if that was such a thing.
It would have been crap App of the Day.
Yeah, it would have been a crap App of the Day, and it would have taken away my, it would have been so bad it would have brought that one down with it.
Oh, now I have to know what it is.
I could look it up again, I guess. Maybe I'll bring it next week when my apps aren't so good.
Thanks for the listeners. Some good stuff tonight presented by the listeners. Please keep doing that. AAA@podnuts.com. That is working, right, Dor?
Should be.
Okay. So send us email, send us apps, send us feedback, and most of all, send Dor money. Patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts. Do that. Pseudo. Do that now.
Pseudo app. Pseudo dollar send Dor // Podnuts.
I think you've got your indent out of place there, but otherwise, I think you're good. I've been coding in Python recently, and oh my gosh, indentations are so annoying. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, Eric, any words of wisdom, final words, last send-off before we say goodnight?
I just want to thank everybody for listening to all the shows on Podnuts, not just this one. There's some other really great shows out there, too, if you're into computers and geekiness and stuff like that, like I know you are.
I just want to say NPR is doing it, and a lot of other podcasts have joined in with it. They're making March the Tripod Month, as in try a pod, just trying to spread the word about podcasts. So the people who listen to this show, by and large, are super heavy-duty podcast listeners. Captain Zero, who has, 10 hours of podcasts to listen to a week, or was that the other one?
It was Todd. So that's all right.
It was Todd. Okay.
Maybe both.
We are the one percenters there. What I want to commission you to do is go talk to the 99%ers and say, hey, do you know what podcasts are? Is there a topic you're interested in? Can I show you how to listen to a new form of radio? Anybody who sits in traffic, you owe them a debt of salvation to introduce them to podcasts. I don't know how people do it. Listening to the same 20 songs on the radio and the drive time morning zoo guy going, wow, that driving out there is really crazy, isn't it? How do people live like that? But they do, because they don't know about podcasts. It's up to you. You can make the world a better place by telling people about podcasts. This one and others. Just spread the word about podcasts in general.
So, and save their ears from 50% commercial time.
Indeed. All right, Dor, your final words for the evening.
I just want to thank everyone for their support.
Okay. Eloquent as always. thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next week on Android App Addicts Podcast.
My name is Jeff Halish. I'm the host of Podnuts Daily, where we interview real people who are working in the computer repair field. I would like to invite you to check out the shows to learn what other computer repair techs are doing. If you would like to be a guest on the show, then contact me at guest@podnuts.com. Podnuts Daily, where it's fun to talk tech.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.